Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. This episode is part of the new edition of the Love Osho podcast dedicated to sannyasins who did not meet Osho in the body. Today our guest is Swami Prem Nishant. Nishant took sannyas in 2009 and is a technological leader with 15 years of professional experience in IT, including working as software engineer for Google. Nishant has led mindfulness workshops at Google and other companies and has launched a new project called the Mindful Developer, aimed at helping busy professionals discover meditation. Nishant, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. I'm fine, thank you.
To start, tell us how you came to know about Osho.
Mm-hmm. So it was in the early 2000s. I started being somehow very interested about meditation. I was curious about it and I started reading some books. First, I started reading a book about Buddhist meditation, and then I got a book that was called What is Meditation from Osho. I was in Italy at that time, and that was my first contact with Osho. It was a short book, and I read it, and it left me wanting for more. So I read a number of books from Osho. I was really amazed by this man and the way he treated the meditation and the personal transformation. But somehow it was always pointing that something has to be done by the person. And I was thinking, okay, I want to change Osho. I want to follow what you're saying, but what should I do? So I went online and I found the Osho techniques, and that was how I started.
Okay, so you went online, you found Osho techniques, but did you feel the urge to meet other people interested in Osho or to go to a place where you could practice the techniques in person live?
At that time, I didn't feel that, but I started practicing by myself. I started practicing Kundalini and Dynamic on my own in my room. And I was overwhelmed. I was like surprised and amazed at how effective these techniques were, because at that point I just did silent sitting for a few years, and I knew that I had to sit silent for a long time before feeling a sense of peace, of calm, of settling down. But with these techniques were just jumping on a rock, on a rocket, and they were very, very effective. I think later it was probably 2008, 2009, that I started going to group meditation. So people were organizing Dynamic and I was joining them.
Okay. And when was that? Was it in Italy, in your area, or did you have to travel somewhere?
The first time I joined group meditation was I was living in Barcelona at the time, and they were organizing Osho Dynamic.
So tell us about your sannyas. So from that experiences of the power of Osho techniques compared to the previous traditional meditation techniques, so how did you then decide to take sannyas?
I'm a slow person in that sense. When I have to take such important decision for myself, I like to feel, ponder, let the things settle down a little bit. It took me some time. Also, I wasn't really into the idea of having a master, having a guru. I always saw myself like a independent meditator, something like this. But at some point in 2009, I joined the Human University meditation, the AUM meditation in Spain. And I was completely blown away by the experience. I was loving it. And a person that was there, a friend of mine that participated as well as facilitator, she told me that she just came back from a place where that particular process was happening every week. And I was like, what? Where? And she told me about Pune and the Osho Resort. And I was like, okay, I'm going there. At that point, I was planning a trip to India. It was period of change in my life. So in a month or so, I was in India. I traveled to Pune and I visited the resort, and it was like stepping into my dream. That was, I realized I was searching for this place for a long time. At the beginning, I joined as a workers meditation program for a month. And then I decided to settle down in Corrigan Park, and I kept my side work there with my IT business, and I will visit the resort as a visitor. And I think it took me 4 months, around 4 or 5 months before I felt, okay, yeah, this is it. I want to take sannyas, and there I took it.
Hard nuts to crack.
I tend to be impulsive sometimes, so I like to give myself time to really think about, do I really want to do this? I think it gives more meaning to the step. And then I didn't know what name to take, and also that took a long time.
How did your life change after becoming a sannyasin and, of course, doing the meditations and after this incredible experience you had in Pune?
It was really powerful and important series of changes, I think. My personal development in overcoming my personal issue and developing into the person I want to be really stepped into the fast track, because I suddenly had access to more tools, like the many meditation done in the resort, the meditation I could do at home, the community of sannyasin that were still living there in Pune, and they could share with me and give me hints, therapist I found there. It really speed up the process by a lot. And when I went back to Italy, I could really feel, and my friends were also telling me I was, I had changed in a positive way. I would say more aware of what's going on inside me, and therefore less impulsive, less reacting as I was before.
Is there any particular issue that was bothering you that becoming a sannyasin and doing the meditation helped you specifically with?
Yeah, I was struggling with depression at the time. And sometimes anxiety. It wasn't something so overwhelming, but it was definitely an issue at the time. And the time I spent there in Pune and after, because I came back with these new tools, with also the habit of doing dynamic meditation and Kundalini meditation quite often, they helped me step into this issue and start slowly working on it and kind of digesting the parts of me that were asking for my attention. So that definitely that helped in that and in my relationship with my body.
So let's talk a little bit about your passion and profession, which is the IT world, as well as you have led meditation programs in the companies you work with, including Google. So I'm really curious to know how your experience in leading meditations in the corporate world went, and what kind of meditation you led, and what prompted you to do that, and how the process works in a corporate world when it comes to meditation.
Sure, sure. Yes, I am definitely coming from a technological background, and I was working at the time when I was in Pune, I was working as a freelancer. So I had my own laptop and I was working from home, basically. And I was realizing that some days I was super productive and I will do incredible amount of job, be so satisfied at the end of the day. And other days were just bad and slow, and I couldn't even realize my goals for the day. And I started asking myself, what is the difference here? Why some days are so good and some days are maybe worse? And I found out that it was all about myself, my capacity to focus, to relax, to have a good mood, and to simply do the work without jumping from one thing to another and just feeling good with myself, more collected, more in my body. And so I started an experiment on myself, and I was doing some type of meditation in the day and then checking how the day will go. And definitely if I was doing any meditation, from silent sitting to something more active, my performance was better. And I thought, oh my God, there are millions like me out there that are software developers and they struggle to focus. And I thought it will be very interesting for companies that invest huge amount of resources into finding talents, relocating them, giving them a laptop and a nice office and benefits and everything. It will be very interesting for them to have those talents being quite focused and collected and be able to be very efficient. So I thought, okay, whenever I will have the chance, I will teach meditation in companies. And when I was hired to work for Google in 2016, that was one of my main goals, to try and teach meditation. And I found out that Google actually has an internal program that is called GPause, which spreads mindfulness and teaches mindfulness to Googlers. And there were no GPause leaders in my office, so I volunteered, and they happily accepted my proposal. And what it comes down to in a corporate world is that we basically bring mindfulness, not meditation, because we want to be sure people understand that we are doing an effort to be more focused, an effort to relax, but we're not bringing in any type of religion or devotion or philosophical topics or spiritual topics inside the workplace. That will be, I think, maybe will create more confusion. So we call it mindfulness, and we practice just techniques that are about observing the here and the now. So normally is I present techniques that are watching your breath or eating something mindfully in silence or looking out of the window, being mindful of what you see without judging. These are the types of techniques and exercise we have in our sessions. And I brought this passion with me when I changed the company as well. There was no mindfulness session, no mindfulness program in my new company. So I, with the help of HR, I created one. And we're having great, great feedback. People love our sessions. And I am really, really happy to hear that people are learning how to relax. They cope better with stress, and they have very good insights.
You also are a Osho Active Meditations certified facilitator. So have you ever thought, or have you ever had a chance to introduce Osho's techniques in the corporate world?
To be fair, not yet, because I think there are many misconception about the world of Osho going around, and I think it will be a long shot at this moment. But maybe if the course lasts for a few years, then I might be able to introduce some spot lessons with that concept. But so far, I think mindfulness is doing its job. And then I also, when I teach mindfulness and I give introduction to mindfulness to people, I also mentioned that mindfulness is not the only type of meditation you can do, and there are more active meditations and that can be practiced. And I mention what I practice. I practice active meditations for Osho, and I even organize some events here in Prague, but outside the corporate world.
Okay, so tell us more about the events you organize outside the corporate world in Prague.
So I organized a couple of evenings, and I shared the Osho Kundalini, that for me is one of my favorites. And what I wanted to share was not just the technique, but I, based on my experience, when I practice an Osho active meditation, I really see more benefits if I allow time before starting to do some type of warm-up. So I normally stretch or dance or move around to get my body started, to have my energy moving before jumping into the meditation itself. So instead of organizing just 1 hour meditation, I booked a space for a couple of hours. So we could have a half hour of warming up. And this also serves as a space for the mind, because in the first 30 minutes, we have no phone, we have no computer, we are just with people, which is something very refreshing nowadays, that we are hyper connected all the time. So those 30 minutes allow us to come into the mood, come into the vibration that we are about to experience a very important meditation. And then we have the usual normal standard Kundalini. And at the end of it, we have a space for sharing, for coming back, for taking care of yourself, giving yourself maybe a little hug. So this is the type of event I have done it. I've done it in a irregular way, but this is what I'm creating.
And when people come, do they come because they want to try a different technique, or they come because they're interested in Osho? Do they normally know already about Osho, or they are introduced to Osho when they come and they do the Kundalini, for example?
I think a little, I have both type of people, but I will say mostly are people that do that type of meditation for the first time. They usually come for the technique. They don't know much about Osho himself, or they've heard about Osho maybe because the Netflix documentary, but most of the people are coming for the first time, let's say, to this world.
Coming back for one moment to the corporate world, and because you mentioned Wild Country, and you mentioned that people, they perhaps don't know much about Osho, or they hear about Osho in a sort of negative way. So what would it take to do the next step and from mindfulness, hopefully introduce Osho's techniques into some of these companies?
I definitely think it's possible. However, as you said, there are some opinions already there about Osho and the Osho world. So I think it will require just a very mindful explanation of what is this technique all about. And it will require also to be very ready to answer difficult questions, right? Because people have misconceptions. People, rightfully so, they've seen the documentary, of they heard some news about Osho. So I think that will be required, and it will also be very important to have an HR department that is, those are the people that make this type of event happen, to understand what could be the value, what could be the benefit of it. And now you made me realize that in the office, I think very, very few people know that I follow Osho as my master. It's not a conversation that we usually have at the coffee machine, where we are more talking about other stuff. But since when I organized this mindful course, more and more people approach me in an informal way, and they ask me about meditation. They ask me advice, what to do, about where to go and try different type of meditation. So it's a good, very good conversation starter, and I don't make it a secret that I really enjoy and like active meditation much more than sitting silently. But as we said, it's not such an easy topic to face.
Yes, exactly, and that's part of the reasons why we started the podcast, to give voice to all the beautiful people who flowered in the garden of Osho, if you like, because unfortunately there is so much more emphasis on the scandals rather than the actual beautiful work that Osho did and beyond.
We both know it's not an easy conversation to have for a sannyasin with, let's say, person that approaches the Osho world, because there are this stereotype of misconception coming up. But my approach to that type of conversation is that, in my point of view, I can see clearly that the most controversial things that people say around the Osho, the world of Osho, were devices created by Osho to make people either know about what was going on with him, or devices to trigger them and make them either interested or angry or both. So I can see why Osho did some things. In my opinion, he was doing it correctly. And when I say this, I speak about having lots of Rolls Royces or to be called the sex guru, even if he spoke about sex, not really mostly in the book Sex from Sex to Superconsciousness a long time ago. But I'm not there to defend Osho's decision. I usually say to people, hey, yes, he had lots of Rolls Royces. And you might agree or not agree with that. You might see it in a positive or negative way. But I say I take from Osho what he has given to us, the discourses, the techniques, the word of Osho. So if you enjoy that, take that, use that for your own benefit. If you don't agree with other parts, then just simply leave them. Take the good part.
Okay, fair enough. The last part of the interview is about the sannyas community. When you need to recharge, is there any particular place where you go that you really like?
Are you referring to Osho Center, right?
Yes, of course.
I think there is not one single Osho Center, but there are a number of sannyasins and they organize a spot on events. So I receive a notification through Facebook because I'm part of some groups and they invite me and they let me know that this day they will organize Dynamic in that area or they organize Osho No Mind and they use different places like yoga schools or other spaces they can rent for it. So That's how the community is active here in Prague.
Looking generally at the Osho community, is there anything that is missing in the Osho world for you?
That's a good one. What is missing? Well, the community right now is spread across the globe and even more now during this period where we have been even more isolated. We can have a sense of being by ourselves or a little isolated. So I think we could get the real benefit from connecting more sannyasin across the globe. And in one way, that's what you're doing with this great podcast. And I hope there will be more initiative, more events to connect us.
As you said, you know, with this podcast, we also try to connect the sannyas community, even if it's just virtually. And we interview the old sannyasins, or better to say, the people who were with Osho physically, and as well as now the new sannyasins, so the people who did not meet Osho in the body. So do you have any curiosities or questions, or is there anything you would like to know from the people who lived with Osho?
Oh, yes. I'm a very curious person. Anything that they share about how it was to be in the physical presence of Osho, it's a big gift for me. It's really food for the soul. So whenever I had the luck to meet those original sannyasin, let's say, and ask them questions, I was very, very delighted. So my questions will be how was to be in his presence and how was the life in the commune when Osho was still in the body. That will be what I will ask.
Okay, and in fact, it's definitely part of the questions I normally ask, so that's good. Yeah. So before we finish the interview, is there anything else you would like to add or anything that I did not ask you that you want to share?
No, I think I'm okay. We spoke quite a bit and I'm okay.
Okay, excellent. So, well, look, Nishan, it's been a pleasure connecting with you and chatting with you. Thanks for being part of the Love Osho podcast. I wish you all the best.
Thank you for having me. Again, I'm honored to be part of this podcast with so many very relevant sannyasin, and I hope I can contribute to the community as much as they have done so far.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And if anyone is listening who live in Prague and they're interested in doing the meditations, they can contact you. I will put, if it's okay with you, your contact details in the show notes so that you can perhaps gather a few more Osho friends in Prague.
Thank you. Yes, I am definitely putting energy in my project, which is mindfuldeveloper.com, and people can reach me there. You will leave the reference in the show info. I'm okay with that.
Amazing. Okay, Nishant, a big hug and lots of love.
Thank you, and a big hug to you too.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveoshow.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.